Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome to another edition of Thunderdome!
It's time to put on makeup. It's time to dress up right. It's time to get things started.
I like the old opening better.
It's time to get things started
on the most sensational, inspirational, celebrational, motivational. This is what we call a...
Green smoke.
This is the Extra Hot Great Podcast, episode 347 for the week of March 22nd, 2021. I am Pig in Space, David T. Cole, and I'm here with belligerent diva, Sarah D. Bunting.
Hi-ya!
Balcony critic, Tara Ariano.
Boo!
And creepy human hands, Adam Grossworth.
Bork, bork, bork.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Extra Hot Great. This is a special episode today, taped in advance, because it is Sarah D. Bunting's birthday. Happy birthday, Sarah.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
We have with us today Mr. Adam Grossworth. Hello, Adam.
Hello,
Adam.
Yeah.
Adam is our Muppet expert. In fact, he is such a Muppet expert. He has the world's number one Muppet podcast, Adam Grossworth. Before we get into it, let us know about your new Muppet podcast.
I, along with three others, have a new podcast called Muppeturgy, a Muppet Show podcast. I am mostly making GIFs and looking up what else was on TV when the Muppet Show episodes originally aired. For example, the Sandy Duncan episode premiered the same night as the Little House on the Prairie, where Nellie pretends to be paralyzed and Laura pushes her wheelchair down the hill.
Very
important. So I am truly living my best life.
Yeah.
My amazing co-hosts are doing tons of actual research about the songs and the guest stars. We have a really weird running tally of who's had affairs with Elvis. It's a lot of them so far. We're doing general Muppet history, and so we share that with you and generally overanalyze each episode and share what's aged well, what still makes us laugh, what has perhaps not aged well and makes us cringe. Mm-hmm. And we're having a lot of fun. This is all in conjunction with The Muppet Show being on Disney Plus, so you can watch along with us. It's super fun. So it's Muppeturgy.com, or just search for Muppet Show on any of your podcast places, and you can find the four of us being giant nerds.
Excellent. Woo. Also find that in our show notes for your clicky convenience. Now, the reason why we have Mr. Adam Grossworth, Muppet expert, here today is because we are doing our second edition of our TV Thunderdome series. If you're not familiar with it, it's because our first one was on Extra, Extra Hot Great. And perhaps you are not a Patreon supporter, and shame on you if you're not. Our first one was the Smurf Thunderdome. And the way it works is this. We have 27 combatants enter the Thunderdome and three fight at a time. So our first round will be 9 matches, and then we'll go to a playoff of 3 matches, and then to our final Thunderdome match. Now, if you're not familiar with the Thunderdome exists in the Australian outback after some sort of nuclear war. And the Thunderdome's this big sort of bubbly dome made out of steel, basically like a big cage. And within the Thunderdome itself, you can find sometimes weapons hanging on the walls, and people fight sometimes on the ground, sometimes they're on bungee cords flying around. Basically, it's your typical dystopian death cage, and that is where our combatants are going today. So we will start with 27 at the end of the day. After we argue for who will win any particular match, we will have one Muppet survive the Thunderdome. And that's what we're doing today, because, yes. So I say let's just get right into it. Let's start with round one.
Yeah!
Our first Muppet Thunderdome match is Marvin Suggs and his Muppaphone, Robin the Frog, and Uncle Deadly. Now, some of these names may not be as familiar to you as others, so we're going to throw to Adam Grossworth after each lineup so he can jog your memory on who's who. So, Adam, round one, who do we got?
So Marvin Suggs, you probably remember if you watched classic Muppet Show. He, the Muppaphone is kind of like a big xylophone thing where with little fluffy, tribbly Muppets that he hits with mallets, and they each sing a note when he hits them. Mm-hmm. Robin the Frog is, of course, Kermit's little nephew, little small young frog. And Uncle Deadly is the sort of Vincent Price-ish Muppet and his original incarnation. In recent years, he's kind of become Miss Piggy's personal assistant gay. he was a big drinker in the Office-y Muppets reboot that happened a couple years ago.
So this is a
very interesting and strange matchup to start us off.
Uncle Deadly kind of looks like the Skeksis. Skeksis from the Dark Crystal.
Skeksis. Yeah, a little bit. Not like sort of a, if you made the Skeksis cuter.
Yes.
Yes.
But yeah, he is a little creepy. I definitely know people who were scared of him as children. I always rather liked him. Says a lot about me.
Let us start with Tara. What's your argument for round one? How do you think it's going to shake out?
I feel like Robin the Frog is not a factor in this one. If someone is in here with a mallet and he hits smaller beings, Robin is a smaller being as well. So, he's not involved in this fight as far as I'm concerned. I mean, so it really comes down to Uncle Deadly versus Marvin Suggs. And Marvin Suggs may have the advantage because he does have come into it with a weapon, but Uncle Deadly, in addition to having native scariness on his side, I mean, he just has intimidating energy that he brings to the fight. Also, the fact that, as Adam says, he was Miss Piggy's gay assistant later in his career. The fact that he potentially has also cutting reading power as well. I think he could psychologically attack Marvin Suggs in addition to physically. So I'm going to give this one to Uncle Deadly.
And let's not forget that an assistants in general have a lot of revenge fantasies. And I think that's going to play into how devious he could be in the ring.
And a lot of resources. They know how to get a lot of stuff done.
Mm-hmm. Sarah D. Bunting, what are you thinking?
Robin the Frog was my nomination, and I think there is an argument to be made, and I will make it now, that he has twofold, his weapon is twofold. First of all, I mean, he's tiny and cute is his whole deal. Mm-hmm. He's tiny, so presumably he's zippy and fast and hard to hit, just hard to get a read. And also the cuteness could cause his opponents to take a moment, be like, do I really want to squash this tiny frog? I understand that it's Muppet Dome, but still. Mm-hmm. With that said, Uncle Deadly, like, I feel like booze is going to have slowed his reflexes, so I feel like he's the one who's not a factor here. Marvin Suggs and his Muppaphone, like, there is a mallet, A, but B, I think the question is, do the Muppaphonics, like the little instrument keys, are they fighting with him? Like, are they, or do they have to be protected by him? If it's the latter, I think that slows him down. But if the Muppaphone can also fight, and he will have the strength of, like, whatever, 88, because his mallet is pure, I don't know how it works. But I think it's Marvin Suggs by a hair.
88 as in the keys on the piano, not yes. 88 yes. as in, yeah. All right.
Thank you.
Yes. I don't know if the Muppet Phone creatures ever leave the base of the Muppet Phone. I think they're stuck there. So they're going to have a hard time fighting unless somebody falls into them, perhaps tripped. And then who knows? Maybe they're super vicious. Maybe they're like, they're like
piranhas.
Yeah. Exactly. The piranhas of the Muppet universe. Adam, what are you thinking?
Excellent points all around. You know, Robin is agile. He does jump very high. But yeah, I think Robin's toast. I just think there's no way. Uncle Deadly does have a Phantom of the Opera vibe going on. But he's also, how do I put this? He's rather effete. Okay. You don't really see him as being a strong fighter. Mm. And Marvin Suggs is unspeakably cruel. He has trained the Muppaphone to sing, right? Each creature sings one note. Why is he hitting them with a mallet? Why could he not pet them? Why could he not just train them to sing? Mm-hmm. He has chosen to beat them for entertainment.
This is an excellent point.
And yeah. Also that sketch traditionally ends with him being hit on the head with a giant mallet. And then the Muppaphone rejoices. So I don't know how they made that happen, but it seems that they have somehow taken their revenge. So if the Muppaphone is also part of the battle, then presumably there is also a giant mallet in play. Mm, So I'm going to give it to Marvin Suggs.
Okay.
Here's why it's not Marvin Suggs. And all the points you made were perfectly valid. And I also believe that Robin is the first to go. Yes, his whole shtick is that people don't notice him, but all they have to do is step on him. He's so small compared to everybody else. I agree that he's the first probably to go, or at least he's not the one to laugh. If Marvin Suggs manages to like win, then the mallet's going to take him out in the end. So this could be like, if you believe Marvin Suggs can best Uncle Deadly, then the mallet is going to get him. So it's either Uncle Deadly or nobody, according to Muppet tradition.
I undermine my own argument. It's a solid point.
So the question is, who's the first to go out? Is it Uncle Deadly? And if so, Suggs wins, but then loses by magic mallet of destiny. Okay, so here's the thing. If you think Uncle Deadly cannot beat Suggs, the winner actually becomes the Muppet Phone that would advance to round two. And that's where I'm going. I think that's the way it's going to play out. It's the Muppet Phone.
I am comfortable with this.
I am totally comfortable with that.
All right. Our winner of Thunderdome round one somehow is Marvin Suggs.
Freed Muppet Phone.
Muppet Phone.
Yes.
But not him. He was eliminated by the Hammer of Retribution.
This is a taste of the nerdery you will get on Muppeturgy. I guess in some interview, Frank Oz said that he believes that Marvin Suggs keeps the Muppaphones, apparently that is what they're called, in a cage and would beat them regularly.
Oh, man.
So, yes.
A little insight also into Frank Oz.
Yeah. I think they were all a little fucked up. If we're going to
As
we're gonna
the
get
man
into
in the Zodiac said, that is fucked up.
Yeah. So so they do come free of the platform, and we have now we're putting them back in the cage for the next round.
All right.
Yeah! All right, let's see who's going to join the Muppet Phone later in this episode. Will it be in round 2 the Gorgon Heap, Kermit the Frog, or the singing food? Now, I think we're all familiar with Kermit, Adam, but who is the Gorgon Heap and who are the singing food?
Well, I feel like singing food is quite self-explanatory. Mm-hmm. It is food.
They're really cute. They're tiny little pieces. They're tiny little food items, but they only have like the black beady eyes.
Yeah, the little beady eyes and you know, the mouths sort of vary depending on what type of food they are.
And the black beady eyes are sort of the Muppet signifier of smallness, right? Because only the small characters have the black beady eyes, right?
They are very cute.
There is the Gilda Radner episode. She really wants to do a number with a 6 foot tall singing parrot, but it winds up being a 6 foot tall singing carrot. but it's the same style. It's just giant. It's anyway. Gorgon Heap, you would know him if you saw him. He is a purple monster who's basically, this will come in handy, only purpose is to eat things, to eat other Muppets, really. And he's appeared pretty consistently throughout the Muppet Show and into the present day. If you've been watching on Disney Plus, you saw him in the Sherlock Holmes sketch pretty early on.
He looks like he's from Where the Wild Things Are. He's got that kind of vibe.
He has yellow eyes and a sort of long nose and a very large mouth and you know, two hands, like not rod hands, like person hands inside gloves, so that he can like grab another Muppet and shove it into his very large mouth, which I feel is about to be quite relevant.
All right.
All right. Let's start with Sarah this time.
The Gorgon Heap. because he's just going to eat the other ones. Like the singing food, I mean, you're cute, but like we saw what happened to Robin the Frog. No. Unless one of the singing foods is a banana, in which case perhaps some defense can be played with the peel, but I don't think so. I think the Gorgon Heap eats the singing food, and then Kermit whips out a banjo and is like, why do we sing a song? And the Gorgon Heap is like, nope, and eats Kermit the Frog, because also a food item. I hate to see Kermit, on the Mount Rushmore, on Muppet Rushmore, go out this early, but the Gorgon Heap exists to eat other Muppets, as we were just told. It's the heap.
Does the Gorgon Heap have any known allergies, Adam?
You know,
that's going to be my question.
The wiki doesn't say, but I was going to make the same joke, and I like that we're all on the same page. So certainly possible.
So you just need one singing peanut.
Exactly.
And the shit's over. I see where you're going.
Yeah.
I don't agree, but I see where you're going.
Famously, those singing raisins. Here's the thing about Kermit is, A, he's their boss. Mm. I feel like he might be the one Muppet that Gorgon Heap does not eat. I don't know that everyone has that kind of fealty, but I think maybe in this round it might work out. He's also a survivor. We have seen him run over by steamrollers. We've seen him thrown out of planes. We've seen him literally, bent and twisted into the shape of a pretzel. I think if anyone can survive Gorgon Heap, it's going to be Kermit.
I do want to note that, of course, in the episode 119, of course, which we all remember, starred Vincent Price, the Gorgon Heap started to eat Kermit after eating one of the world's greatest chefs. So I don't think he has any reservations about going at Kermit. This is Thunderdome, after all.
It's true.
I don't think the chain of command is a matter of concern for El Heap.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it seems like this is a feral creature. Kermit is his boss. Does not seem to me like it's going to be much of an issue. I don't know that he, based on what you've described, has a conscious understanding of who signs his paychecks or what a paycheck is.
True. Also, if we're going there, the checks always bounce. Kermit's actually a terrible producer, so he might actually have reason to want to eat.
Yeah,
him.
I really don't feel like Muppet HR has been a significant factor in anything that we're talking about. I could be wrong.
Yeah, so Gorgon Heap is my pick for this round.
Singing food, small Muppets, choking hazard, Gorgon Heap, voracious eater. Perhaps goes too quick, too fast on the many little, because the singing fruit are a collection. It's like opening up your crisper drawer or something like that. And there's a whole bunch of fruit. If you imagine the bottom of your fridge, you open them up and everything in there is a Muppet. So I am going with Gorgon Heap choking on singing food, giving Kermit enough time to slip in with the killing blow. So actually, I'm going to go with Kermit on this one.
Wow.
But it sounds like I am the only one who votes for Kermit here. So unfortunately, the big cheese is already out in round two. Gorgon Heap.
He was eaten. Kiss cheese.
First out on the Masked Singer and first out on Thunderdome.
Round three.
Yeah!
Feather boa constrictor, Bunsen honeydew, and Droop. I am unfamiliar with Droop.
My darling Droop. Feather boa constrictor, I think, is also self-explanatory. It is a feather boa that is alive and has a face and is very cute. Bunsen honeydew, of course, the mad scientist in the lab with Beaker. Droop is a pretty early Muppet. I believe he was introduced on the Muppet Valentine's Day special pre-Muppet Show, and then he kind of appears in the background throughout the Muppet Show and other things. A version of him shows up on Dinosaurs, which I've also been watching on Disney Plus, which I don't recommend. We're sort of obsessed with him over Muppeturgy. He's kind of become our mascot. He's very small and cute. He's one of those Muppets whose entire face is his nose, right? He's like long and pointy. He's very sad.
He's kind of anteater looking.
Yeah, kind of like an entity, and he has his kind of sort of talks like this, and his sort of whole deal is like is nobody notices me, and it's okay, I'll just sit over here in the corner, and he's really, really adorable, and we love him, and I don't think he's going to last very long in the Thunderdome.
I mean, based on Adam's description, it seems like Droop's only advantage would be that he could sort of fly under the radar. He could hide. He could just hope not to be noticed. Except that Thunderdome being a dome, it's not like it has corners for him to really hide in. So I think as soon as he is perceived, he is going to be destroyed. Bunsen Honeydew potentially could rig something with the weapons that we know are around in the Thunderdome. We haven't really talked about those yet, except that we also know anytime Bunsen Honeydew tries to rig anything, it literally usually blows up in his face. He is not a good engineer or chemist. So I'm going to give this to Feather Boa Constrictor, which, in addition to being very cute, is literally a killing machine. It exists to wrap around your neck and choke you to death. So Feather Boa Constrictor for the win in this round.
Okay, so Feather Boa Constrictor, there's an order of operations that has to happen for it to win because it kills by constricting. There's only one other person left. If the other person is already dispatched, then I think your case makes sense. But if it automatically goes for one person and the other person's still active, that other person can just basically take their time to pummel Feather Boa Constrictor to death as it's trying to kill, say, oh, I forgot his name, Droop.
Droop.
So how is that going to play out? That's the question. So Bunsen Honeydew needs to go out first, or Droop needs to go out first before Boa Constrictor does its thing. So that's the question. How's that going to play? I have a question for Adam about Honeydew, which is when he does his experiments and something blows up, am I misremembering that that always falls on Beaker, or does he get damaged? Is he part of the collateral damage?
It does tend to fall on Beaker sort of by design, but, you know, Beaker's not here now. So it's, you know, what happens to Bunsen without a Beaker?
Exactly. So is he
very
just sort of like
question.
The absent-minded... scientist who just does stupid things, blows things up, and it always hurts other people? Is that a sort of like secret weapon that even he is not aware of, that he goes into Thunderdome, concocts some sort of experiment, tries to create some sort of weapon, it blows up, backfires, but it doesn't hurt him. It actually takes out Droop. It actually perhaps takes out Feather Boa Constrictor. And if it takes out one of them quickly, then Feather Boa Constrictor goes after Honeydew, constricts him, kills him. So that's a long way of saying I agree with Tara on this one, but it is dependent on the Honeydew non-self-harm theory that I just came up with. Okay. Adam, where are you going with this one?
It's a good theory, but the reason that harm always befalls Beaker is that Bunsen makes it befall Beaker. He insists that Beaker do the tests. So I don't know that that holds. Droop has no neck, so he cannot be harmed by Feather Boa Constrictor. He also has sharp little teeth. So I don't think he's taking the whole thing, I'm going to give this round to Droop. His defining characteristic is self-pity. So I think he just doesn't care. And I think he's going to be a surprising fighter because he's just going to go wild and just take everybody down.
Your contention is when he gets constricted, he just sort of like pops out because he's
basically
just not,
right? He's just a long, skinny thing. And so
I think
to your point about, you know, the Boa Constrictor being occupied with Bunsen Honeydew, I think then Droop can just take them both out. Mm-hmm. And I think his lack of self-preservation is actually his strength here, that he simply won't care.
Just a note, a Boa Constrictor can also constrict you around the middle and, like, crush your guts.
But can a Boa Constrictor do that?
Perhaps.
I mean,
not.
It really it needs to live around the neck.
You're right.
Where are you thinking on this, Sarah?
The information that has just been imparted about Droop's necklessness, there were a couple of directions that I could go with this. And like your mental conception of this battle, Dave, it really depended on which victim Feather Boa selected. It appears that he would probably go for Bunsen Honeydew. So what I see happening is that Droop, paralyzed with self-loathing, is just off to one side. Uh-huh. Feather Boa Constrictor is like, sweet, I will try to squeeze Bunsen Honeydew before he can cook up, you know, some chemical reason to kill me. But then Bunsen Honeydew blows them both up and Droop walks off because they knocked each other out.
Oh, interesting.
Sort of an unsatisfying ending, but I think that's how it goes. Droop.
So on first glance, we have a Droop Boa tie, but I can think changed my vote to Droop. I can buy that series of events that Sarah popped out. So this round goes
plopped out.
Puzzlingly to Droop.
Yeah, well, welcome to Muppet Dome.
Round four.
Yeah!
Sam the Eagle. Fozzie Bear.
Wow.
Lou Zealand.
Oh, man. Lou Zealand. This one's tough.
This one sucks. I hate it.
Well, you know, these are all pretty much, you know, pretty top line Muppets. Sam the Eagle, we all know. The upright and uptight and Republican Eagle. Fozzie Bear, beloved failing comedian. Fozzie Bear, both Frank Oz characters. And Lou Zealand. The boomerang fish thrower. That's really his whole shtick.
I have a theory, which is Lou Zealand, who throws boomerang fish, perhaps has lived in Australian outback for a while. And, you know, he's familiar with the boomerang, how to throw it. He may have sort of like a knowledge of the area, of its customs, of Thunderdome itself. Who knows? I'm a little worried about the fish he's throwing. What fish are left here in the middle of the outback after a nuclear war? What fish he manages to have are probably actually pretty deadly, you know, radioactive anyways. Mm-hmm.
Probably, but may also be eaten backstage by the Gorgon Heap. Who is to say?
So how much damage will a boomerang fish do in Thunderdome? That's an interesting question. What are you thinking on this one, Sarah?
Fuck. Okay, I think Fozzie's out because Fozzie is smaller than Sam the Eagle, and they're both equally dumb, but Fozzie has a necktie with which he can be strangled and a hat which can be pulled down over his face with which he can be blinded. I think Fozzie's out. Sorry, buddy. Dave raises some thorny questions vis-a-vis post-apocalyptic fish is a thing I just fucking said. Okay. Speaking of living my best life. I think that leaves Sam the Eagle versus Lou Zealand. I mean, I think Sam will be like slowed down by being sort of unhelpfully offended that he's even in this position, because shouldn't he know people? Someone should get him out of this. I think it's Lou Zealand, because I think Sam the Eagle has superior size and like literally nothing else. And Lou Zealand will fuck him up with those fish. But I am open to other theories. Currently, my vote is with Lou Zealand.
Yeah, it's tricky. I mean, Fozzie's a bear, but he has no natural instincts of a bear. Mm-hmm. And we've seen this. He tried to go back to the wild and the Muppets Take Manhattan, and he couldn't hack it. So yeah, I think Sarah's right. He's weak. He's out.
So cool.
You know, Sam is not going to be a natural fighter, but he is very sturdy, right? He's broad shoulders. He's got the beak. I think he could get hit by several fish and be fine. And then possibly peck Lou Zealand to death.
Yeah.
And it does seem, I was just looking this up while you were talking, it does seem that Lou Zealand only throws fish. Like, I'm trying to think of, you know, are those skills transferable to other objects in Thunderdome? And it seems like no. It seems like he only throws the fish. So I might have to give it to Sam, because Lou is really a buffoon. And while Sam is not, you know, I think Sam's natural instinct would be to run away, I just think his physicality gives him an advantage if he's forced to fight.
And if it's really only fish and he eats the fish.
Also eagles eat fish. So yeah, I think it's
Sam. Okay, I'm changing my vote to Sam.
You're forgetting one thing. Okay, so Lou Zealand, who I assume is probably has from New Zealand and made his way over to Australia sometime before the Great War that happened. He is throwing radioactive fish. Sam the Eagle, being an eagle, is catching them and eating them immediately because he's a fucking eagle and they eat fish. They just dive into the water, eat fish. They grab fish out of water. That's what they do. So he is new New Zealand throwing to fish, Sam the Eagle dying from radioactive fish, Fozzie Bear with taking advantage of the moment and taking out New Zealand. So against all odds, this one actually, because of the interaction between fish and eagle, is going to the bear.
Well, if that's your argument, then bears also eat fish straight out of the water.
Yeah, but he's throwing him at the eagle because he seems like the bigger foe, right? Fozzie is the unassuming one.
It's a very weird argument.
Why?
If
you didn't think Fozzie Bear was a threat, you're going to go fight the eagle. You're going to throw your fish at the eagle. You're not going to waste them on the bear.
If the radiation's a problem, then a lot of these Muppets are long dead already because they're so small. I mean, Droop and Robin aren't even in this competition because they're tiny.
Oh.
The Muppet-phone is
Robin,
you know,
and his
out.
Seven legs. Jesus.
All right, Tara.
Well, what no one has really talked about very much, I mean, we don't usually see Sam flying, but he is an eagle and, you know, presumably he can. So I think that automatically gives him an advantage over both of these opponents. If he can, like, go up into the top reaches of Thunderdome and he can avoid the eagle, the fish, like he... You know, you're assuming that he would want to eat the fish, but, you know, just because he's a Republican doesn't mean he's dumb. If he knows that they're radioactive, he might not eat them. He might just try to avoid catching them. So, you know, I'm going to say Sam can, he can avoid the bombardment. He's going to, like, wait out and choose his spots. And when Lou is, you know, reloading or whatever, he's
going to
swoop
dive
down.
Bomb him to death.
Exactly. Yeah. So sure. I'm gonna say, you know, Sam for the advantage of flight and of size. I'm gonna give this one to Sam.
Okay, I will just add before we vote that neither Fozzie Bear nor New Zealand are oil holding characters. Therefore, I don't think Sam the Eagle would actually end up fighting them. So I have three for Sam the Eagle. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Sam the Eagle takes round four.
Yeah!
Round five, the Flying Zucchini Brothers, Statler and Waldorf, and Rizzo the Rat.
Okay. The Flying Zucchini Brothers are the perhaps slightly offensive Italian brothers. They are a daredevil act. They shoot themselves out of cannons and the like. They're humanoid Muppets. Statler and Waldorf, of course, everyone's favorite old man hecklers in the box at the theater. And Rizzo, one of my all-time favorites, the rat in the Muppet Theater. And he's had various roles over the years on various properties.
All right. Let's start with Adam here with his little Rizzo the Rat toy behind him.
I do. This was a tough one for me. I don't know. I think it's got to be Rizzo because he is small and scrappy. He is a rat. He has survived a great deal, including, you know, the mean streets of New York in The Muppets Take Manhattan, the mean streets of Disney World. He has a restaurant in Hollywood Studios. But also, I mean, the Zucchini Brothers, while not exactly a beloved pair, they do fire themselves out of cannons. They wear helmets.
Yeah.
So they have that built-in protection. You know, Statler and Waldorf fight. I love. They have survived a lot. It's sort of implied that they fought in World War One, so you know, they are survivors. There are two of them, though. There are also two Zucchini Brothers, but they're also very old men, and I just don't see them really going anywhere in this. So, it's tough, but I think I got to give it to Rizzo by a nose, by a whisker, as it were.
I have an argument that backs up your case, which is Statler and Waldorf are critics. And the Flying Zucchini Brothers are in the entertainment business. So the first attack is actually a critical attack, and that lowers the self-worth of the Flying Zucchini Brothers and sort of hampers them. They can't fight quite as much as they would ordinarily. They're just sort of like, oh, maybe we aren't as good as we thought we were. Maybe we are not the world's best cannonball act. It cuts their Achilles tendon just a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's Thunderdome. but it's also Brain Dome. And I think they're playing some mind games here that could work out in their favor. So there's cannons in there, but they take a long time to load. So that's the other thing. At first I thought, oh, cannons, but you know, you don't really have time to do all the rigmarole to actually use them as a weapon more than once. So
is there a platform in Thunderdome?
No.
Where Statler and Waldorf can sit?
That is a question I have.
From.
No, not if they're in Thunderdome. If they were, other people are playing, they can definitely be somewhere balcony-esque, but not while they're in it. Because I doubt they could climb up either. They're pretty old.
Right.
Sarah, what's your thinking here?
So what is your vote, Dave?
My vote is that somehow the Flying Zucchini Brothers are actually hobbled by Statler and Waldorf. And the question is, can two old men take out a rat? And I feel like they've been in the shit. They've been in the trenches in World War One. You know what there's a lot of there? Rats.
Rats.
So true. I think actually this one goes to the Waldorf and Statler.
Interesting.
Okay.
Interesting.
It seems pretty straightforward given that there is a cannon involved. Statler and Waldorf, if they don't have a balcony to drop things off of onto their opponents, I think they're toast. It pains me to see them go, but I, you know, they've been around a while. They had a good run. The question then becomes, are the Zucchini brothers capable of pinpoint accuracy with the cannon? I suspect that part of their whole thing, part of their whole character brief is that they're not, that they're like the Bunsen honeydew of materiel. I don't know. Adam can confirm or deny. The fact that Rizzo is named for a character that famously died is kind of a problem, but like actual rats, like will outlive us all.
Right.
It's very difficult for me to decide. And as someone who, along with our esteemed colleague, John Ramos, has been calling every pair of brothers, famous and not, the Flying X brothers, because of these guys, like the whole time we've known each other, I want Los Zucchini to win, but like Rizzo is wily. So I agree with Adam. I think it's the rat.
I take Dave's point about the, you know, Statler and Waldorf employing psychological warfare. I do think that is their best weapon, certainly.
Sure.
But I question how far that's going to take them in Thunderdome. So I think
the Flying Zucchini Brothers come from a very proud family.
But they also don't speak English so good.
Yeah,
so
don't, please, Dave.
They might not understand the shit that's being talked about them. I think you're maybe overestimating the effects here.
Yeah, but Waldorf and Statler have experience in the European theater, so they may have picked up some Italian.
As it were.
As the only one here who's like even kind of Italian, I take offense. I don't. But I'm going to say Statler and Waldorf for me are not a factor in this battle. So it comes down to the Italians, Rizzo and the Zucchini brothers. So then the question is, are you going to give it to the combatants who are literally like, you know, who are literally like ammunition, human ammunition, or a tiny assailant who probably, in addition to being coming from a race that is, you know, as Sarah said, rats will outlive us all. They're famously survivors. But in addition to that, also equally as famously, carriers of disease. Like, all it might take is for Rizzo to get
excellent
close enough
point
to bite one of them, and then it's probably over because he might just give them the plague. So
yeah,
I'm going to say
Buboni brothers. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Exactly. So, yeah, I'm going to say Rizzo for this round because rats are survivors and rats are also filthy. So, yeah, Rizzo for me.
Mm. All right. Rizzo, winner of this round.
Yeah!
All right. Round six is brought to you by whatever ad you just heard. Round six is the Dodo, Rolf, the dog, and Miss Piggy.
Ooh.
All right. We got two big ones here. Who is the Dodo, Adam?
Even I had to look up the Dodo, whoever put this on the list. I'm just going to read this off the wiki. The Dodo is a goofy bird who appeared in episode 415 of The Muppet Show. He interrupted Anne Murray on her signature song, Snowbird, and helped her finish the song after exchanging some bird puns. He also appeared as a member of the crew in Muppet Treasure Island. He is very cute, and I would recommend looking him up. He has, for our purposes, a very large beak, somewhat frightening looking, and some pretty long legs.
So his power is bird puns. That's what we're learning today.
He's kind of cross-eyed.
He somehow survived the dodo extinction, and mm-hmm. he lives today, and his skill set involves bird puns.
Got correct. It. And he is okay. connected to one of Dave and Tara's dogs.
Right.
And to Sarah D. Bunting, whose niece and nephew call her Dodo. This is why I selected this character. The Anne Marie information meant that, you know, there are no accidents in the universe.
Well, as much as I love my dog, the last of the Dodo species somehow that survived the extinction in the 1800s doesn't really give me a lot of confidence in their chances. They didn't win the battle the
either.
First time is going to be very difficult for the Dodo to win here in Thunderdome.
Yeah. Just loneliness alone.
I mean, Miss Piggy knows karate.
Yeah.
Ralph the dog plays the piano. When you put those skill sets together, it's got to be probably Miss Piggy there. Miss Piggy has the rage.
Mm-hmm.
Ralph the dog seems relatively easygoing in comparison to Miss Piggy. I really don't see any reason why Miss Piggy doesn't walk away as the round six victor.
I don't either.
Tara?
I agree. I feel like the only thing you can say for Ralph is that he's got person hands in his paws. So he might have, like, you know, a bigger strangling power. But yeah, I mean, Miss Piggy, come on. Plus, you know,
Miss Piggy's just going to slam the piano top down on his hands and then game over.
A great, great point.
Ralph's not a fighter. I mean, Ralph is the biggest softy on the whole show, I think.
He's a sweetie.
As it were.
Like, even Robin is going to fight more than Ralph.
Yeah, true.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's Piggy. It's interesting watching these early Muppet Show episodes again. If listeners go to the Muppeturgy website, the Ruth Buzzy episode, there is a gif of Piggy beating the crap out of Kermit. Like, it's not the single hi-ya. Like, she knocks him down and then stomps on him. It's Piggy. She's taking this.
Yeah.
All right. I think that was our most decisive decision yet.
Yeah.
This is now round seven. I think this might be my favorite first round lineup. So our first combatant is Animal, but with the Electric Mayhem Band outside of the Thunderdome playing him on. So whenever he is fighting, Electric Mayhem is playing music for Animal, I guess maybe to jazz him up in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Swedish Chef and Crazy Harry. Now, Crazy Harry might not be familiar as the other two. So, Adam, start us off. Who is Crazy Harry?
Yeah, I mean, you'd know him if you saw him. Crazy Harry blows shit up, basically. You know, if you make the mistake of saying something like, this next number is going to be a blast, he'll appear and say, did somebody say blast? With one of those, like, old-fashioned dynamite plungers, and something will explode. That's Crazy Harry.
And I will say, he's not... Isn't there another one called, like, the Mad Bomber or something like that? Or is that the same...
Is that maybe like later on?
Yeah,
I think maybe.
Okay, so Adam, let's start with you. How do you see this playing out?
I mean, this is a hard one. It's not that hard. I think it's Animal, but I mean, Crazy Harry has, you know, dynamite at his disposal. He is also crazy, but also so is Animal. But I think Animal is crazy like a fox. I think Animal actually often knows what he's doing and is very deliberately fucking with people because he wants to. Whereas Crazy Harry is actually insane and is going to hurt himself and others, you know, outside of Thunderdome. But he does have dynamite, and that's a solid play. The Swedish Chef has human hands, as alluded to in the opening of this podcast episode. So like not human hands and gloves, actual human hands. So, right. You know, he is the one Muppet who could really strangle another Muppet. He also has
you know, a giant cleaver. No?
Right. He also, as I was about to say, has kitchen implements. He has rolling pins. He has frying pans. That said, he's pretty incompetent. Mm-hmm. And those human hands, I think, are also a liability because they could easily be bitten by animal or blown off by Crazy Harry. So I just think I got to give it to Animal just on like pure tenacity alone.
Well, there's two crazy characters here. We've got Animal. We've got Crazy Harry right there on the tin. The difference is Animal's very feral and is just like, you know, in the zone, gonna get you, right? He's just like a force of nature. Whereas Crazy Harry has to sort of like set up the dynamite somewhere. He's not going to blow himself up and get Animal there. And that's the trick, is Animal's very unpredictable.
Right.
He's crazy. He'll do whatever. So this is how I think it plays out. Crazy Harry's having trouble actually detonating anywhere near Animal because Animal's going all over the place, powered by Electric Mayhem as the accompanying band.
Right.
Swedish Chef, not the sharpest knife in the drawer, picks up one of the sticks of dynamite, thinking he gets a rolling pin, blows himself up.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Leaving Animal for the easy run, grab, bite, rip, tear, attack on Crazy Harry. As much as I love Crazy Harry, he is a fantastic looking Muppet. Really, I feel like the fact that he has to be able to predict where Animal is going to be in order for his strength to work, his dynamite, really handicaps him here.
I agree with everything that you just said. I think that's exactly the scenario. Let's also remember that Animal, A, has like, maybe not intentional, but maybe intentional Manson energy. And yeah. Also is a drummer. And that is like serious upper body strength. So I just think there's like too much, like if it were sort of like allowed to be set up in a like calmer environment, maybe Crazy Harry could prevail explosively. But I think you're right. There's just like too much other shit going on. Or like the other thing is, the other option is Crazy Harry is trying to set up. The Swedish Chef is flinging cleavers around. A cleaver gets buried in Crazy Harry's cranium. And then Animal beats the Swedish Chef. But I think it's Animal. Whichever route is taken, I think it's Animal.
Tara?
Yeah, this isn't, you know, IRA in the 70s dome. It's Thunderdome. This is what Animal was made for, you know. This isn't a situation where you know, pinpoint planning is called for. And that's what, you know, as Dave said, what you need. That's the advantage of having dynamite. You just want someone who's going to go absolutely apeshit and just attack with all of the physical implements that his body has, plus drumsticks. So yep. I think Animal takes this easily.
Yeah, the other thing we didn't talk about is I think the Swedish Chef would actually be distracted by the Electric Mayhem. You know, he'd be like singing and bopping and sort of rolling the dynamite rolling pin to that music and just sort of unaware of everything else that's happening. I just want to say follow up. The Mad Bomber was another character on the Muppets, only one appearance. And he sort of looks like one of the Blues Brothers.
Yeah!
All right, let's go to the next round. It is round 8. Our lineup is Beaker, Gonzo, and the Snowists, is that their official name?
I believe it's Snowists.
Snowists.
Okay. The Snowists are Menomina's backup singers. they really, it depends on how you want to look at it. They're trying to sing a song when Menomina interrupts them and ruins it, is another way to look at it. So you'd know them if you saw them. They're
pink.
They're pink. They have very round mouths. They're kind of all mouth. They are super cute. A lot of sort of marabou fur. But yeah, they appear elsewhere, but they're primarily known for the Menomina number, the doo-doo-doo-doers. And Beaker and Gonzo, of course, we know.
This is a really tough one because I think it's like oranges, apples, chocolate cheese time with this matchup. It really depends on, I think it comes down to defense. And I think how you vote here depends on how much you respect Beaker for somehow remaining alive despite the best efforts of his completely incompetent boss to kill him with his ineptitude. Gonzo, I don't know. Gonzo is small and seems to have real difficulty operating brass instruments, never mind dealing with Thunderdome. On the other hand, the chickens aren't fighting with him, right? Or is his harem with him?
No, Camilla's in another round.
Right. So, okay, he's on his own, so I think he doesn't have a chance. Like, if he had the... if he had the phalanx O'Hens, that would be different. And the Menomina, I don't know. Like, I think they're just not mean enough. I think Beaker is able to deflect enough that he will stay alive the longest. Like, I think this isn't one of those rounds that's about who has the best weaponry or fighting style or... attributes that would let them win. It's about not losing. And I think the fact that Beaker has to date not been killed by Dr. Honeydew means that it is Beaker and also vengeance for Beaker, whom I love. Adam, do you agree?
This is a tough one.
Right?
You make a strong argument about Beaker being a survivor. I mean, these are all survivors, right? The Snoths can stand up to Menomina, who is... a dick, but I don't think they really have any fight in a physical sense. You know, Beaker has definitely survived a lot. He is bendy. He is bouncy. He can be lit on fire. But Gonzo, like, you think about what Gonzo has been through, all the times he has been shot out of a cannon, had anvils dropped on him. And, you know, much like Droop, he has no shame. He has no... sense of self-preservation, really. He's going to just go for it. So I think I'm going to give it to Gonzo.
I agree. I think the only advantage you can say potentially the Menomina aliens have, the Snoths, is that they, you know, they fight as a team, so maybe the two of them could swarm their combatants.
True. With cuteness.
But, yeah, but I think...
my animals do it all the time.
And harmony.
Right. Cuteness and harmony.
But yeah, Gonzo, I mean, Gonzo is canonically a weirdo. Gonzo has weird powers and weird survival energy. So I think Gonzo just has powers and abilities that we do not understand because they're weird. So I think Gonzo for the win in this round. Dave.
Snoths have like gasket mouths.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the way it plays out is that Beaker paralyzed by fear, even though Honeydew's not in the arena, he's scarred for life. He's paralyzed by fear. Mm. The Snoths basically just go up, seal their mouths over his ears, create some sort of terrible vacuum in his head, implode his brain
right
with the pressure that they create.
It's like a Chuck Palahniuk story.
And then they can't really do the same with Gonzo because Gonzo just has like that weird head and hair and all that stuff going on. You can't get a seal there.
And the proboscis is tricky.
Same tactic doesn't work with Gonzo. So I think everything everybody's been saying about Gonzo then comes into play. So yeah, Gonzo in this round for me too. So okay. Gonzo is moving on.
Yeah!
Last of our round one matchups is Camilla the Chicken, speaking about Gonzo.
Oh.
Sweetums and Scooter. What do we got here, Adam?
You know, I'm not sure these need a ton of explanation either. Camilla the Chicken is the chicken, really. The one true Muppet chicken. She is Gonzo's girlfriend. It's weird. Mm-hmm. Scooter is the gopher at the Muppet Theater, the nephew of the theater owner, later sort of a stage manager type figure in Muppet world. Sweetums is the large, brown, shaggy Muppet monster. He's had multiple roles over time as well, and sort of an ogre type, often quite articulate in his later appearances.
It seems obvious, so I hesitate to say it, but it also is obvious, so you kind of have to say it. It's gotta be Sweetums. I mean, he's huge. He's giant. Like, what is Camilla's advantage? She's a chicken. I mean, Sweetums is just going to eat her probably and not even bother cooking her first. Scooter, as a stage manager, you know, he's definitely got organizational advantages. I don't want to discount that. Stage managers are very competent in many areas. But I think Scooter versus Sweetums, Sweetums is just going to step on Scooter. That's the end of Scooter. So for me, it's Sweetums for this round.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out an argument against Sweetums. I mean, he is an ogre, you know, and he is not like the ogre that is also like a pacifist or something like that. Like he, you know, lived. He was introduced in an episode with a dungeon. He was trying to eat Kermit. He was singing war songs and all this. So, you know, he is sort of, you know, an ogre. He fights. That's what he does. And I feel like it's going to be really hard for a chicken or a shitty version of Kermit to really match
thank you for articulating my desire for Scooter to lose above all else in this round.
All right, so Sarah, also not a Scooter fan, but no. How do you see this one playing out?
Sweetums will either accidentally step on and kill the other two or purposefully step on and kill the other two. Either way, other two stepped on and killed. Sorry, Camilla. Love you, girl, but no.
Adam?
Sweetums does only have one working arm. I want to point that out. But
but it's the size of two scooters.
So. No, it's true. I don't know. Scooter is very near and dear to me. He's very resourceful, but he is also a child of great privilege. And in 2021, I feel that the raggedy poor ogre should eat the nephew of the theater owner. I just think that's
Scooter's
fair.
What is job exactly on the Muppet
So Scooter
show?
Appears at the Muppet Theater as the he's the gopher originally, so he's the intern, he's the PA, but he arrives and Kermit is like, we don't need a gopher, who the fuck are you? And he's like, well, my uncle owns the theater. And he's like, oh, well, I guess you can have this unpaid internship then. So, I mean, watching this from a 2021 lens, it's like there's a lot going on. Mm-hmm. This is a taste of what it's like to listen to my podcast. And, you know, and then over time, it sort of changes and he takes on a bigger role in the new Disney Plus show, which is I don't particularly like. He seems to be like very much in charge of getting their little like their web series online and sort of has a real job. I tend to think of him as a stage manager as time goes on. But in the Muppet Show, they call him the gopher. So he's basically an unpaid intern. But anytime anything bad happens to him, he will pull out that my uncle owns the theater line.
Right.
Work with Sweetums? Would Sweetums be like, oh, okay,
I don't think Sweetums would give a shit. No. But I don't think it would work with Camilla either, frankly. So, I mean, in Camilla, we've definitely seen fight. Camilla is a scrappy chicken and she will peck out some eyes. So, yeah, I think Scooter's glasses are going off in the fight with Camilla. And then Sweetums is eating Camilla. I think that's how that's going down.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah! All right. That concludes round one. So we're now in our playoffs. Our first tri-final is the Muppaphone without Suggs. These are just the five round Muppets sitting on a xylophone bass.
Yep.
The Gorgon Heap and Droop. Droop is our final first try final person.
Okay.
Okay. So once again, Muppaphone, Gorgon Heap, Droop. Adam, what are you thinking on this one? Getting weird.
It sure is. I mean, there's a chance the giant mallet comes into play here and takes everybody out, but I think it's got to be Gorgon Heap. I mean, there's just, you know, he's popping the Muppaphone. Guys,
does the mallet of destiny come into play if Suggs is out of the picture? Like, that was retribution for Suggs, not
right,
for the
right,
Muppet
because
phone.
Right, why would a mallet attack Droop? Right, it has to be, you know, it's an eye for an eye, a They're mallet cruel for a master. Mallet. So
yeah.
So I think Gorgon Heap is just they're popcorn to him, and frankly, so is Droop. I'm sorry, dude, but it's time.
Yeah, I mean, I think Droop is not a factor here. The question is whether you think that Muppaphonics can sort of like separate from their rack and attack him like a swarm of midges. I don't think that's possible. So I agree, Gorgon Heap.
So are we saying that Marvin Suggs nailed them to the bays?
They do move around. I mean, if we're gonna go there in the sketch, some of them are in the wrong place and he makes them swap places. So they're not nailed down.
I think they could slow the Gorgon Heap down, but eventually they're gonna get near his mouth and it's gonna be curtains just going right in for the phone.
Yeah, they're bite-sized.
Right. And then the other question becomes, you know, it's like with Beaker, do they have PTSD from their experience?
Right.
Like,
well, they do now.
Do they have the concept of, you know, rebelling? Can they just metabolize the idea of fighting back?
They've been in captivity too long.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. So I think, yeah, as much as we would, it's sort of like with the Sweetums fight, we would like to imagine a world in which the Gorgon Heap doesn't win. But like, let's be realistic, guys.
Yeah.
Let's be realistic in this fight in a Thunderdome where Muppets are battling to the death. Gorgon Heap.
Let's just face the quote facts. Exactly. Unquote.
Yeah, the only way I can see this happening is that Droop is running around very wildly trying to escape the Gorgon Heap, and the Gorgon Heap trips on the Muppaphones because they're all on the ground now, and they're just basically it's like, you know, playing in a ball pit when they're all around.
Right.
He trips and falls, and like that fall happens to crack his skull. That's very unlikely all those events are going to happen. So, much as I really wanted to see the Muppaphone make it to the finals, I agree it's got to be Gorgon Heap here.
Yep.
Yeah!
Sam the Eagle, Rizzo the Rat, Miss Piggy, Sarah D. Bundy.
Okay. If we are following Tara's extremely well-stated logic from round one, which is that Sam the Eagle can get to the top of Thunderdome and then come literally screaming down and strike his prey, can he get the rat? Yes. Adam, does Sam have any known canonical vision problems?
I don't believe so. I think we can assume he is eagle-eyed in the classic sense.
That he is eagle-eyed. He actually, I feel like he mentions that more than occasionally. So I think he can take out Rizzo. I think Miss Piggy could also take out Rizzo, but it would be a question of who struck first. And if Captain Plague nips her on the trotter before she gets a you know, leg kick off, that's going to be a problem. But Piggy, I mean, Piggy's like volcanic rage and her like borderline personality ability to like pall entire situations. P.S. I hated this character when I was a kid. Like, she just made me really anxious. She was so irrational and volatile. I think that could work in her favor, but this is not a flighted animal. And I think Sam the Eagle is just going to be, he's going to be like, you know, I'm sick of your feminazi shit. And then he's going to peck her to death. So I think Sam the Eagle, but I'm interested to hear what other people see happening in this very weird matchup.
Adam?
It's Piggy for me. It's just the inherent violence. It's,
yeah. I mean, she's just, I can't disagree.
I mean, I do think Rizzo is one of the Muppets who would stand up to her, but I just think she's taken it.
Yeah, and I think her karate skills are advanced enough that she can fend off aerial attacks. Like, I think she's got that level of skill going for her. Plus, of course, the rage.
Yeah.
Tara, what are your rage? Thinking?
Yeah, I agree. I think Sam takes out Rat. Eagle defeats Rodent. I think, you know, plague powers aside, that's a given. Mm-hmm. But I think Piggy probably has the, you know, the trotter to wing skills to defeat Sam the Eagle. So, yeah, Piggy, for me, takes this round.
Yeah!
Time to decide our last finalist. Will it be Animal with Electric Mayhem playing in the background, Gonzo, or Sweetums?
Oh, fuck.
Tara.
Okay. I'm just going to say Gonzo is out. Gonzo is not a factor in this fight. Gonzo is small. And even though, you know, in his previous battle, we said he could possibly have chaos powers. I don't think he is equal to either of these other combatants. So it's going to come down to Animal versus Sweetums. And then it's going to be size versus even more chaos in the case of Animal, where it's going to be just brute force versus, you know, potentially a dervish in the case of Animal, whipped up also by the the tunes of the Electric Mayhem. And I mean, we haven't even really talked about, like, Electric Mayhem, the band name alone. I mean, it's just going to inflame you. So, oh boy, it's tough. It's tough. Ogre versus Animal. I'm going to say Animal. I mean, he's so scary. They have to keep him on a chain. You know, like, we didn't talk about that last time either. He's got like a studded collar. They hold him on a chain. He's that unpredictable.
He's a pit bull. Literally a pit bull.
So I think Animal defeats Sweetums.
All right. Here's how Gonzo wins this one. Gonzo, knowing that he is going up against two vicious beasts, goes, changes the music that Electric Mayhem is going to play to Edelweiss, soothing the savage beasts, lowering their energy, giving him the opportunity for a fair fight.
Interesting.
Adam shaking his head.
Why would they do
he
that for Gonzo?
Yeah, I mean, they would never. Dr. Teeth.
Yeah, they're loyal to Animal.
Because he switched their music on them.
They don't need to reach
music. They just switch it back. Yeah,
they're improvisers. Yeah.
But that's the way things work.
I think the plan falls apart there.
I like how that would never happen.
So unrealistic, Dave.
Yeah. All right, Adam, what are you thinking here?
I mean, Gonzo does have a lot of costumes. So, you know, he could.
No, he doesn't.
He could suit up. He could wear his Darth Vader costume, have a helmet. No, but I think it's Animal. I mean, Sweetums is ultimately quite sweet. And I think, you know, while he has fight in him, I don't think he could ultimately stand up to Animal's unending energy. I think he would give up.
It was pointed out in the last round. Also, Sweetums only has one working arm. Is that right?
That's true.
Okay, so I think if Animal can get some kind of headlock and then just poke him in the eye with drumsticks.
He can't get a headlock on Sweetums. Sweetums is too big.
He could strangle him with the chair. With the chain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can Jabba the Hutt him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Here we are at our final. Only one of the following three will exit Thunderdome alive. Will it be the Gorgon Heap, Miss Piggy, or Animal, of course, with the Electric Mayhem playing him on in the background, just outside the Thunderdome? Tara Ariano.
Oh, my God.
Good luck, girl.
Why are you making me go first? Okay. So the Gorgon Heap, here's what we know. The Gorgon Heap eats other Muppets. Is the Gorgon Heap going to eat Miss Piggy, which is made of ham? Yes. So then we are left with Gorgon Heap versus Animal. Then the question becomes, is Animal wily enough or, again, chaotic enough to evade the Gorgon Heap just being able to capture him?
No. Wait. I think you might even be overthinking your argument, because this is how that would play out.
Right.
Gorgon Heap eats Miss Piggy. In your scenario, Miss Piggy being the weakest of these three.
Yes.
Eats Animal.
Yes.
Animal pops out of his stomach, alien style, right? Because he's one of those characters.
I'm pretty sure there is an alien something that happens in this fight. How you feel it goes down after that, but I'm almost sure Dave is right about that part of it.
That does. Yeah. Okay. All right. I accept
that. Like, Animal is uneatable.
I think,
in this scenario.
he certainly has a lot of hardware on him that I don't think is digestible. Although Miss Piggy might too. She does like jewelry. I have the book.
What's that chain attached to, do you think? Like, where's that chain go?
Bolted to the stage floor, I assume.
Yeah, I think they've let him free. Yeah. I think sometimes
it's
Floyd,
only fair, really. Yeah. You can't handicap a dude with a chain.
Yeah,
just because
I think
sometimes
Floyd
wild.
is his minder. Sometimes he's chained to the drum set. I think it depends on the circumstance.
Okay,
right. I think Animal has an animalistic just drive to survive. And I think even though Gorgon Heap also, as far as we know, only exists to eat and to specifically eat other animals, I mean, Muppets rather, I think Animal is undefeatable. And I think Animal is our ultimate victor.
Eating machine versus the uneatable.
Yeah.
I think that Miss Piggy somehow convinces Animal by what means, I am not sure. Perhaps by promising him a set of throwing stars, who is to say how this conversation goes, convinces him that they should let the Gorgon Heap eat them both at the same time and then fight each other inside the Gorgon Heap, thereby killing the Gorgon Heap. So while this is occurring, Miss Piggy at some point accidentally karate chops the Gorgon Heap's key internal organs. The Gorgon Heap is out, but is still containing this fight in a gastrodome within the Thunderdome. Because the space is tinier, this gives Miss Piggy an advantage. I think a lot of animals' chaos, its effectiveness derives from like space and being able to sprawling around. He can't do that. Miss Piggy is able to do some kind of death stroke, sternum kick, something. Kills Animal, uses his teeth to cut her way out of the Gorgon Heap and emerges bloody but victorious. This was extremely dark. You know, for kids.
Yeah.
I'm giving it to the pig, Adam.
I didn't go quite as dark as you, but similar scenario. Gorgon Heap does eat Muppets whole. I think he goes after Animal first because he's the biggest threat. As Dave said, Animal eats his way out. and then Piggy takes Animal with a well-placed karate chop. We have actually seen Animal taken down by strong women, notably Rita Moreno. And well, and it's Piggy's.
Yeah, I was going to ask if there was ever any Piggy Animal direct interaction in that sense.
There must be. I haven't come to it in my rewatch yet, but I feel that if anyone
seems like she has a rider where she's like, keep that thing away from me.
Yeah, and he does love a strong woman. He has said so outright.
Yeah, I think the scenario is Gorgon Heap swallows Animal. Animal pops out. Not without a great deal of effort. I mean, you know, he's wild and feral, but the Gorgon Heap's a big dude, and he still has to chew his way out of that. That weakens him enough.
Cut through a Muppet pelt,
for a still strong Miss Piggy to take out Animal. As crazy as that sounds, because so far Animal's just been a force of nature in the Thunderdome, but a dude has to eat himself out of the Gorgon Heap is going to take some doing. Had to phrase that very, very carefully. So my vote here is for Miss Piggy. So let me just get this tally again. Sarah D. Bunting, what did you say here?
It was a dark journey, but I said Miss Piggy.
Tara, you went to Animal?
I said Animal.
Adam, you said Piggy?
The pig brings home the bacon.
All right, so it does. So 27 Muppets from The Muppet Show have entered Thunderdome. There's felt, there's wires, there's sticks, there's just blood and
human hands,
Muppet guts everywhere, and some few fingers. We're not sure who they are.
Cracked helmets, frog legs.
But at the end of the day, the only Muppet that will be leaving Thunderdome is Miss Piggy. think Miss Piggy should get a honorary slot in the Sesame Street Thunderdome, which I feel like this is leading into.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Wow. Jesus.
You know, for kids.
Did you see that?
Yes, the frog is certainly taking a beating on this show.
Yeah, it's hard to feel sorry for him. We take a beating every show.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At BP, we're not just talking strategy. We're making it happen. Growing our upstream business with 6 major new projects in 2025. 4 already live, 2 more scheduled this year, expecting to add 135,000 barrels a day to peak production, helping drive long-term shareholder value. For more on our growth plans, visit bp.com/strategy at work.
Lowe's knows when you're looking for reliability, the right brand makes all the difference. And now, Lowe's is the exclusive home improvement retailer for the Whirlpool water treatment line, including their Wi-Fi softener, under-sink filtration system, and more. With Whirlpool's proven performance and our everyday low prices, better tasting, better quality water is within reach. Shop pro-trusted brands like Whirlpool and more, in-store or online. Lowe's. We help. You save.